now, broadcasting directly to your personal devices, it's the Topper Sports Podcast, featuring our founder and CEO, Topper. Also featuring Commissioner, a.k.a. El Guapo, a.k.a. Dr. Phil Medicine Man, a.k.a. Tony from the Bronx, a.k.a. the Wizard of Odds, a.k.a. the Loch Ness Monster Skull 350, a.k.a. Mr. Tuesday Afternoon from 2 to 3:16, a.k.a. Ham and Cheese Sandwich, hold the ham and hold the sandwich, a.k.a. Wednesday, because he was the middle child, a.k.a. B's other brother, Lenny Elba, and last but not least, the head of officiating, a.k.a. the dirtiest player in the game, Ramir! And without further ado, let's go!
Back up in your ass with the resurrection. Is the group hotter than an erection that shows no affection? They want a Madison on Capitol Hill, because it's die, motherfuckers, die, motherfuckers!
Hold on, with the ghetto.
Your team sucks!
That's pretty much it, though. Fuck it.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the TSL Podcast. As always, I am your host, Joe K. This time, I'm joined by, hopefully, all year. Doreen, you're doing this all year or what?
As long as I'm available.
You're always available. You don't do anything.
Priya, that's right.
Coming to you live / recorded from Doreen's apparent second bar. Is this, which rank the bars that are in your house? Because we just went over this whole thing. Go on.
So technically, this is the number one bar because it has the most shit on the wall. So it's like shenanigans.
Yes.
So that's number one. And it's also, this has moved through four different homes.
Oh,
so
no shit. All of the nonsense, too?
This actual physical bar did, too.
That's cool.
Like, my husband made this bar in, like, 1997, 8, something like that.
Back when wood prices were lower.
Yes, exactly. So this moved with us in four different houses. The Birdhouse is the third bar. That's the wine bar.
Mm-hmm.
Josh Wine only, because it's a Buffalo Bills theme back there. And then our winter bar is in our basement. And it's fancy. It's called the Blind Pig, and it's all bourbon.
Yep. And then you said you want to add a tiki bar by the pool, too?
Yeah, that's going to be just to spite my neighbors.
I love that.
Yeah, I'm going to make
it a hell of a motivator.
So loud, and I'm just going to play Taylor Swift on repeat and just fuck the patriarchy over and over because they hate swear words.
Yeah. Yeah, so we're going to be here a lot. So Doreen, thank you for letting us do it here. Usually we go to Topper's thing, but I think the acoustics in here are still a lot better than if we went to the bar, so it's neat. And then we have a guest that everybody should know at this point. He is...
And love.
Maybe the most beloved person in the league, but I haven't talked to him really much since this happened. A D1 champion.
Thank you.
Dun, dun, dun.
Mike Thomas and the Sticky Bandits. Hello, sir. How are you?
Doing good. It was a fun summer. Yeah, that was a great way to start summer off.
I could imagine. So, I mean, before we get into the current season, you get a second. You went on this journey. So why don't you give me your thoughts on the whole, holy shit, we won. Now that you've had like a month or two to decompress.
I won't take as much time as Jeff Kroll did, although he did a great job.
Oh, and so cute.
There's not that much I can really add to it. But I'll say that week was really fun because the way it started out, I don't know if you guys know this, but Maggie got hurt playing kickball. And we talked last time I was on the podcast about, all the sticky playoff disappointments and how close we've come. And so it was kind of like, here we go again. And then we get to Saturday. The forecast is terrible. Wake up. Mm-hmm. It's pouring rain. It's like, are we really going to play? I just wasn't really that up for it. And then at about 9:30, Brian Stevens calls me. And Brian's a great guy, but I don't think I've ever talked to him on the phone before. So I look at the phone and I'm like, I'm going to have his car broke down. I'm going to have to go pick him up or something.
That's bad thing.
Right. And he just goes, Mike, I can't wait to play. Let's go get a championship. And from that moment, I was locked in.
It's like your fever broke. You're like, let's go.
I got to the fields and, didn't care about trying to stay dry. It was just like, let's just enjoy the moment and try to have the best hour of football we've ever played. And, worked out.
Yeah, I'd say you did, right? So, that's really cool. So, again, congratulations. I just wanted to lead into that because everybody's going to be listening to this is now starting, the next journey towards a championship. Everybody who's playing is obviously hoping to win. And
tip of the cap to the former Legends / Eyes Uptown for the Wet Bandits name. I got a kick out of that when I saw it.
I saw that.
According to Travis, it was Sean's idea. So well done, Sean.
If you're going to do like a troll name for whoever won the championship that wasn't you, the Wet Bandits is pretty funny.
And Eyes Uptown was really good, too. Two great troll names so far.
Well, my question is, at this point, what do you do if they, what do they do if they win? If they're making fun of the champion that isn't them, so do they just go back to Legends or?
It's a great point.
Then again, weren't they supposed to not play anymore? Were they breaking up and then they got the band back together yet again? So
yeah,
we just may never know.
That's fine. Hopefully this isn't their last go around either, because they make things a bit more interesting. Speaking of interesting, like I said, last time we were in this bar, actually, like I said, off air, was for the Breakfast Club draft. You're coming into your second year now as a Breakfast Club captain. Breakfast Club, of course, starts this Saturday. Do you feel better? Do you feel more confident about this team? That's a no. Oh, you just saw her face.
No, it's because I need to process everything that's said to me. But I think a big thing is with this one is we have a more
balanced.
Yeah, I guess I'll say we have Buddy Lee as our quarterback.
Sure.
And I feel like he's really kind of come into, you know, being a really elite quarterback in the league. So I'm excited because I took Ricky again, mm-hmm. Because I loved having him on the team last year. And I'm super excited to have him kind of pull up on QB if he needs to, if Buddy can't make it 1 week. And then also he's just so good on defense.
Yep.
So I feel like now that I get to have him on like that side of the ball more, I'm a little bit excited about that.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
And then we have, was it three new captains? It's like Carly captained, but like she took over for Jenna.
Kind of co-captain.
Yeah, because she absolutely shattered every bone in her leg.
Poor
which was
thing.
Terrible. But
no.
That happens. I mean, she's still always in good spirits, which is honestly to be expected if you know her. And then we had
Riley.
Sydney. Yeah, Riley and Sydney too. So that's half new captains, but they're all doing a good job. I thought everybody had a pretty good draft.
Uh-huh.
I think the teams are pretty close. So.
Everybody was really happy with who they got.
Yeah, there was a big wink, by the way.
Oh, no. Riley, a new sticky bandit while Maggie recovers.
I know. I said the rich just keep getting richer. I love it for you guys. But, well, I guess we'll talk about her debut in a second here because it's literally the first game on the docket. But, yeah, so, I mean, I'm just excited. We got the league back. Everybody had an alleged great time in week one. I wasn't there. It was horrible. I mean, the FOMO was real. I had to miss a doubleheader for Bullet Club. The other team didn't play, so that was kind of cool. So I didn't miss that much. How were the fields? How was everything? I mean, you would know better than I would.
Mike Thomas has to be the one to.
Yeah, weather was fantastic.
It was almost too hot.
Yeah, it was warm, but I thought it was comfortable. The fields were in good shape, other than the new field five, which needs some work. But
bad or so, like manageable bad?
Somewhere in between, on the borderline, I would say.
Like holes or rocks?
There were some rocks being pulled out that were thrown to the side. It needs some work, but, you know, it just got built, I guess, within the last couple weeks. So
at least they're building something over there.
Yeah.
I mean, we've been browsing the indoor league for forever, or the indoor Topper Dome or whatever for, it feels like 2-3 years now. And they still haven't really done anything. Even after like last season in the spring, the first week, I think they put all the stakes in the ground like and mapped it out. So it's like, you know, stuff's going to happen.
Right.
Nope.
Yeah.
Whatever. How's parking and all that stuff? Was that cool too? Or
I didn't see any issues.
Good. Perfect. You like to see that. A relatively tame week, except for maybe a dust up here or there. You have a plaque of Barry Horowitz, which is fantastic. I have to just point that one out right now. That's just
to borrow an Office Space reference, the level of flair in this bar is unprecedented.
I didn't see the Barry Horowitz.
There has to be hundreds of pieces of flair.
Until now.
Well, oh my gosh, you got to look around because there is so much wrestling stuff and heavy metal stuff.
It's like a scavenger hunt.
Yeah.
I got to focus.
My husband's a weirdo.
No, he's fantastic.
I mean, but he has to be.
Yeah, look what he
signed up for.
at gunpoint, to be fair. But
fell into.
There was that, and then
took some tequila.
There's like a suspension or something that we missed, but I guess there was also the return of a week one ambulance. I know somebody kind of crashed into another person.
That was my buddy.
Broken jaw or something like that. So that really sucks too. But other than that, everything was pretty cool, I guess. So let's talk about the 10 o'clock games. Go.
All right. So we're going to start with Sticky Bandits, 37 to Free Ballers, 29. The Malones, that's their debut in D1, right?
D2.
Oh, D2. 43 to Scared Hitless is 28. Powerpuff Girls, 44, Come From Behind, 26. Day by Day, 44, TMA, 7. Sticky Laces, 19, Dog Pound, 17.
All right, well, shout out to Sticky Laces. They pulled off one over Dog Pound. I remember playing both those guys in both teams in D6 last year, and they've kind of had a little bit of like a budding rivalry because they played each other in really close games, so that's really cool to just see those guys going at it. Sticky Laces pulled that one out. The Malones, like you said, their D2 debut after just absolutely slaughtering D3 last season. It was ridiculous.
I thought they were going to make the jump right to one.
Well, that's kind of what I thought too. And I think they would have if we did the combined thing, even though technically it's like we combined and just the playoffs are different, but it's whatever. So we'll still get to see how the Malones look against the D1 teams. It's funny because everybody always has this image in their head of like, oh, I don't want to play a D1 because everybody's just faster and better and all that stuff. But then you start to realize like it's not.
Yeah.
But when you were playing the Malones in D3, they were just faster. But it almost felt like how people view going up to D1, just how fast and like smart they were. It was, I know their mouths can be, you know, well, racist mouth can be something, but they're really, really good. I'm surprised they didn't fully do the jump either. But hey, I'm interested to see how things go. But hell of a start for them. Mike, Sticky Bandits 37, Free Ballers, and their D1 debut 29. Close game, wasn't it?
Yeah. First thing I want to say is I said this to Scott and Makita before the game. Huge props to them for moving up, even though they lost Sean, arguably the best player in the league.
Yep.
Still made the jump to D1.
Did they replace him with anybody?
Not that I noticed. It looked like most of the same faces, but I don't know for sure. But it was a competitive game. It had a little bit of a scrimmagey feel to it because we didn't have Brian, Drew, or Brandy. They didn't have Hogan, so Garrett was quarterbacking, and then Dree also subbed for them.
Okay.
So, you know, it was still a competitive game, but it did have a little bit of that early season feel to it. We didn't get stopped on offense once. We moved the ball pretty well, but they did a good job on offense. They, you know, Garrett played well. They could have scored probably every drive because the ones they didn't score, there was a couple drops in the end zone. Garrett missed a couple wide open receivers. So I know talking to Matt at the end of the game, he felt like, I think they were encouraged by it.
That's good, though. That's kind of what you want to see. Like, even in a loss, yeah. That's kind of what you're looking for.
I mean, even after the game, I mentioned a couple things I noticed to Scott and Matt, because I want those guys to do well. We want a competitive division, and, you know, I think they'll be okay. They have good athletes, and Hogan's a proven quarterback, so.
I mean, it was close, too. It's not like it was a blowout or anything.
Did it come down to the end or anything?
No, it was, they scored on actually kind of a deflected jump ball with like a couple minutes to go. And then we ran out the clock. So
did Sean go anywhere else?
Or no, he's just still on wet band.
He's a D1. So
yeah, it's just one of those things. But yeah, that is pretty ballsy for them to move up. Shout out to them. Day by Day, who I guess, according to Jeff Kroll, is the former Just Joshing from last year. They beat up on TMA 44-7. Durant said Brent gave you some notes, but not a lot to talk about.
Not much. He basically just said, though, that they played with five people. That's always going to be their issue these days is just not having a steady rotation of people that show up every week.
It's the worst. A lot of teams usually get in that spiral where it's like, oh, we got a whole bunch of people that'll show up, and then people go away, they stop playing, et cetera, et cetera. And before you know it, oh, crap, we don't have the army we used to have.
Yeah.
And we start recruiting, and it's like, happens all the time.
Injuries.
People run off faster than you can replace them.
Yeah. So a lot of times, yeah, unfortunately. Unless you win a whole bunch, and then people are like, I want to steer forever. It's fine. And then, Mike, you said you had notes on the Powerpuff Girls beating Come From Behind 44-26. It's a pretty impressive win for the girls.
Yeah, apparently a new addition to the team, Megan Campbell. I believe she plays for the family. She, I guess, came in, you know, had instant chemistry with Kyle. Short stuff, long stuff, playing great on defense. So a good addition to the team there. And then just a well-rounded game. I guess everyone chipped in. So
perfect. You like to see that. I know I had read that they lost Maddie because Maddie went to go play for the stunts. So I was like, oh, no, she's hard to replace. But it seems like they did a pretty good job doing it. So.
Oh, if you get a girl from the family. Did anybody get anybody else from the family?
Yeah, Kendra. I don't know if she's playing on any gender team, but she should if she's not.
Yeah, someone needs make it to happen. Find them and snag them up.
For sure. All right. So what happened at 11 o'clock?
Okay. We got Can't Touch This 36 to Gray Hair Don't Care 16, Wanderers 28 to Jabronis 24, Bullet Club 48, Buffalo Vice 31.
That's backwards. We lost. I definitely typed it wrong.
Oh, sorry. So 31-48 then. And Powerpuff Girls 50 to Spinelli's Plumbing 38.
Let's see here. So Gray Hair Don't Care came back. You like to see that, but Can't Touch This just kind of keeps going on a roll. I know that. At one point, they lost what felt like 8, 9, 10 games in a row, dating back to the season before last. And then they just went on this like hot streak. And I remember being like, I think they might win the whole thing. D2, which was ridiculously close last year. So it's good to see that they're still leading off on the right foot and not, you know, stumbling out of the gate. The Wanderers took on the Jabronis. I know those two always play really close, hard-fought games. This might be your D1 championship preview. Both these Wanderers are obviously stacked, and Jabronis have played nothing but good football since they came back. So usually they don't play in the fall, I thought. So that was kind of surprising. Any clue why they're there?
No, not really.
All right, cool.
No.
Thanks, Mike.
Especially since they lost Lindsay, technically, because she can't really do anything.
They lost Lindsay and Carly.
Yeah.
A lot of broken bones on the girl side of things there. So I don't know who they got to replace them, but it seems like they're doing a pretty good job. Even if they lose to the Wanderers, that's nothing to really like be that upset about.
Yeah.
Mike, what do you got for Powerpuff Girls 50? Spinelli's Plumbing 38.
I caught the second half of that game. It was kind of what you would expect. Spinelli's has the big, tall, athletic guys. They were throwing it up. Girls were having trouble stopping them, but they were also pretty much scoring at will. Torrey had an absolutely phenomenal play in that game on offense, and Powerpuff Girls sealed it with a Jesse Keita pick 8. That was a really nice play.
Shit. That's really cool.
Yeah.
It's good to have Spinelli's back. And I know they just took one season off, but they're fun. Like I remember them when they're here, they just always put up like big, big numbers.
You know, yeah. Hard stuff. Like,
yeah. So it'll be interesting to see how well they do in, I think that's D5. So it'll be interesting.
Yeah, D5.
And then last but not least, Buffalo Vice beat Bullet Club 48-31. I know we were a little shorthanded this week because Dylan was gone, and instead of having John throw and be short, another guy actually B stepped it and threw. And I guess there was a little chemistry issues. What are you going to do with that? But needless to say, I guess Andy was just really on for Vice and just hit a shit ton of deep balls and really worked out for them. So what are you going to do? So shout out to Vice for that win. Yeah, nude.
All right. We got Frodo Swaggins, 34. Can't touch this, 29. Jabronis, 34. To Toppers, All-Stars, and Todd, 12. Wanderers, 53. Bullet Club, 29. Sticky Laces, 28. Balls Deep, 18. And Two Tutties, 23. Not So Sticky, 18.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty much the same story for this Bullet Club loss as well. Just when you're a little shorthanded and you're playing a team like the Wanderers, who just know exactly what's going on, I guess there was a few miscues early on offense that the Wanderers got some, I guess Sal made some nice picks because, well, he's really good at football. That's pretty much how that works. So yeah, Wanderers just did Wanderers things and we couldn't keep up. But, you know, next time we play them, hopefully we'll have our full team and that'll be helpful. But maybe I just have to stay positive.
Side note, I was at camping last weekend and we had like a bunch of friends that all show up with us, and one of our girlfriends brought an extra girlfriend, and I don't know, we're all just sitting there chit-chatting, and I said something about like missing football today, and she goes, oh, do you play in that league that a lot of people play in? And I said, yeah. And she goes, oh, I did too at one point. I played for the Wanderers.
Oh, shit.
And I said, oh, my God, are you kidding? I was like, I've been playing against the Wanderers for like 15 years now, right? She goes, yeah, I used to date Sal.
That's probably why she doesn't play for the Wanderers anymore.
I know. She was actually like, oh, it was so nice. And it sounded like they had a, you know, decent situation. But she was really cool. And I was like, you want to come back? always recruiting.
You should always be recruiting. That's just part of it. Shout out Sticky Laces. They beat Balls Deep. Balls Deep, if I remember last year, they struggled with scoring, and that reigns supreme here.
Like Balls Deep, you should not have a problem scoring.
Sounds like you're busy. But either way, Sticky Laces, I guess, got new girls or something, which was a problem for them last year. So shout out to them for being 2-0. That's really cool to see. Jabronis, like I said, one of the contenders for the D3 championship there. They just kind of beat up on Topper's team, but I guess Topper wasn't there, so that kind of explains why that happened. I mean, he wasn't there to play lockdown defense, which can always be an issue.
You know, you wouldn't think he's a difference maker, but
he's a difference maker.
I swear to you, every single game that I watch with him, he has at least one play that you're like, I can't believe he just did that.
I did see Topper in the morning, though.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I thought he was missing games.
He was at the fields. I don't know if he played.
Oh, maybe he did play. No, he couldn't have, obviously. But
they lost.
Yeah, I thought I read that. I thought he wasn't supposed to be.
Maybe he was hurt or something.
Perhaps.
I don't know. When you're unable to be a part of football, you kind of miss all the things that are happening.
Oh, it's awful. Oh, so awful.
Fantasy football draft. What the fuck? And what else happened? Oh, Two Tutties, 23. Not So Sticky, 18. Mike, I know you know a little bit about this game for being in it. I'm just going to read what Corey sent me, because I don't think you knew you were going to be on the podcast. So.
Oh, okay.
Corey goes, as expected with the Tutties versus Not So Sticky, it was a back and forth all game. He said, Ricky R pretty regular, of course. And Mike were balling out for NSS. All three of their guys had a nice touchdown catch, and their girls made some nice defensive plays. For the Tutties, Nate Smith had two picks, with one being a return on an extra point. Aaron Morris and Chris Wolcott had big touchdowns from quarterback Mike Wolcott near the end of the game to put the Tutties up, and the defense made a stand to end the game. Suck it, Jeff. Love Corey.
So I'll say this. That's interesting that the quarterback is a Wolcott, because I was wondering where they got him from. He's good. He's a lefty. He's mobile. He's smart. He's going to be good for them.
Does he wear a shirt?
He does wear a shirt.
That's unfortunate.
He does wear a shirt.
He does wear a shirt.
You know, as you heard, Ricky's back on Not So Sticky this year, so good to have him back. But we lost Christine Kroll, so a tough trade-off there. It went from being a team that was kind of girl-driven with Christine to now it's going to be more Ricky.
Well, it can still be girl-driven with Ricky.
I love it. But yeah, so shout-out to Jeff Kroll, I guess, because if you think about it, the reason Christine isn't playing is because she didn't ref.
Right.
So Jeff went, no, easy buckets. You didn't ref. You don't get to play on two teams. And I'm like, that's awesome.
You can't accuse the guy of being a hypocrite.
No, that's sure. Pretty funny. So take that, Christine. Go watch my baby.
I was just going to say, I'm like, it's probably hard for her to ref when she's playing on teams and raising a baby.
Yeah, that's what I guess.
Yeah.
I wouldn't know.
Just saying. Just point it out.
And then the last game, Frodo Swaggins gets on in the win column. They beat Can't Touch This, who I'm pretty sure beat them last year in the crossover game, because this is one of the D1, D2 crossover games. So shout out to them for getting a win. But shout out to Can't Touch This for, hanging with them, you know.
I caught the end of that game, and I think Frodo had a nice comeback. They looked very excited when they pulled it off at the end. And I know Dree got hurt at the end of our game, so I don't think they had her. So
nice. She hurt? She's literally all muscle right now. How did she get hurt? She just pulled her everything?
Yeah, it was like a non-contact, just like kind of planted and stepped on it wrong. I don't think it was like a torn ACL or anything.
Non-contact is like the scariest term in sports nowadays. Mm-hmm. It's just like, oh, that means something that you want.
Yeah, I was talking to her after the game. She said, I didn't really do anything. It just started to hurt. So we'll see.
I hope it isn't worse. So Garrett was supposed to be here, but he got a migraine an hour before. So wait a week, you came to get the injury report from him. What a bum.
Wouldn't it be funny, though, if he was like, it's a lower body injury?
Yes, that's a good joke. The whole time. That'd be funny. What happened at 1 o'clock?
Did you go over your game?
No, I just said it was the same thing. Wanderers are much better than we are. And
I was just making sure.
Sal had the pick, and then that reminded you of your story.
About
And camping. Like, you went on this whole thing for like 5 minutes.
It wasn't 5 minutes. It was
arguably
50 seconds.
I mean, so far, this has to be one of the most efficient podcasts of all time. We're flying.
Well, it's because we don't have the scumbag John Langley on.
Yeah, we don't need 48 extra minutes of scumbaggery. This is how it's supposed to go, probably. No, it's fine.
Okay, 1 o'clock. ILF 26 to Cobblestone 0. Select 26 to Girthquakes. Oh, yep. The 28.
28-27.
To Girthquakes 27. Vaspian 31 to Creakers 12. Sausage McMuffins 46 to Purple Nurples 29. Wet Bandits 57, Gray Hair Don't Care 22.
All right. Well, Wet Bandits took on Gray Hair in a crossover game. Just kind of won by 30. I mean, not much really to talk about there. Sausage McMuffins, they scored a bunch of points against the Purple Nurples, who used to be the Mighty Drunks, who a season ago gave up a crap ton of points. So it looks like they're continuing the same thing. And the McMuffins could score, man. So they're got to be one of the favorites to win D6 for sure. Vaspine, kind of surprising, 31 points, beating the Creakers, only allowing 12, because the Creakers are a really, really good team, and Vaspine you always have questions about, but hey, worked out for them this time around. So Mike, why don't you tell me about the ILF game real quick, and then we'll let Doreen talk about her squad.
Yeah, so I guess Daryl didn't have any girls, so they played the first half 6-on-4, it was 26-0, and then I think they decided to call it and just scrimmage, so.
Just have fun.
That's the story there.
Oh, well, it is what it is. Select 28, Girthquakes 27. They're two brand new teams. First off, so you're on Select. How did that happen? Who's on the team? What is Select?
So I actually don't know, because I also did not get to play this week.
But Mark's
instead of Tom.
Mark Krasinski.
Yeah, is running the team. It seems like a lot of family affair.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
I think his son and his brother and stuff like that. So
that's pretty cool.
Yeah, but that can bring problems, I think, sometimes, because now you're closer with these people and you feel more comfortable probably getting a little chippy with them.
Or something. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So he says here that the first game was a really good game. It was very physical. some chirping going back and forth, just because I guess they used to play with Keegan on the tots. So him and Mark's brother were getting on each other a little bit there.
Okay.
The final drive was a touchdown pass to Mark's brother. I don't know who his name is. Isn't that bad?
Mark's brother. It's fine.
Mark's brother. And it was over Keita, and that's when things got intense. And I, as I was reading this, I was like, yeah, that sounds about right.
Well, I saw that play.
Oh, and yeah, let's go.
Hey, so, there we go.
You know, he caught it over Keita, and this guy's probably 6'2", 6'3", you know, significantly taller than Matt, so... It was, you know, it was a mossing.
Significantly taller.
I love how you just segued our conversation with Randy Moss before the pod started.
But I don't know what happened before this. I think there was some back and forth. But after he caught the pass, I mean, he screamed in Keita's face. Really got, you know, it wasn't right. He shouldn't have done it. It was too much. No. Even if there had been some buildup to it, it was over the top. And then Keita pushed him. And then, you know, everyone was kind of yelling and it just got a little messy.
Yeah. Well. Yeah.
Super rad.
Gross. Yeah, he said that his brother yelled, was hyped up about the catch, got in Keita's face. Then he said that Matt pushed him and everything went south from there. So Matt got ejected for pushing. Oh, Jordan is his name. There we go.
Okay.
Jordan was trying to get my brother off of the field and then they got into it.
Yes, Jordan ref didn't. The ref get pushed.
Sugar. Yeah, so then that would be Jordan. Okay. So when they separated, we scored our extra point with a pass to his godson, Malachi, to put us up by one. Girthquakes had a chance with their final drive, but came up short because they actually had no QB.
Do you guys know Malachi?
I know of.
He is an absolutely phenomenal player.
As soon as I see him.
I was going to bring him up.
Well, he was supposed to play with Garrett on Frodo, I thought.
He would have been a great addition to Frodo. He's too low in D4. He's an excellent player.
Well, I mean, you say he's too low in D4, but I'm pretty sure the Girthquakes have like Keita and Bobby.
Yeah.
And what? I know this is Dylan's other team. So, like,
right.
The hell's going on? That's the team sounds, well, can't say they sound stacked if they lost. So, here's what it is. But
we'll just by one, though. So, it looks like it was really close. And if Matt got ejected at that point, then, you know, Matt's one of the better players. So now you're talking about one of your better players not being there for the final drive. That could have.
Yeah, because it cost a team.
Malachi, though, to me is like a Sean, Dean, Derek, ooh, Andy level
is,
player. He's
high praise.
That really, is high praise. Really now I'm like,
Mike's
excited.
Thomas high praise. I like
him. Yeah.
Now he's like, let's go.
Yeah, let's go.
He's like, let's watch him.
Just hopefully, don't get kicked out.
Exactly. Dory's going to be half ass running around to watch him do stuff. Like, oh, there he goes. All right, cool.
Well, if you've got somebody that good, then you don't have to run your routes that bad. Fuck it.
Accurate. No, you're not kidding. I understand. what happened at 2:00?
All right. So, 2:00, we got the Wet Bandits 39 to Eyes Downtown 34. Practice squad 44, passing while intoxicated 8. Girthquakes 21, Cobblestone 0, Select 27, Tavaspian 26.
Well, first up, the Girthquakes, their 21-0 win was a forfeit. I wasn't sure about that, so I didn't write it on Doreen's paper, so don't blame her. But that's because obviously Cobblestone just kind of bailed on it, and they might, I don't know if they scrimmaged or whatever, but Girthquakes got the forfeit win. What else happened?
I'm on PWI too. I actually forgot about that.
I thought you were on PWI.
Yeah. And I did ask.
I missed you.
Yeah. They only had one girl.
Yep.
Yeah.
I reffed that game. They played 5-on-6 and did what they could do, but B was too smart. You can't play against him shorthanded. Right.
So because I was listening to, because Colorado Mike works with us too now. So
right,
Colorado
right.
Mike was in the office and Alex Duckowitz, also somebody that worked with us. I've done a lot of things of getting like the league to work with us. Except Alex, I found he's like the VP of something now. So he's like everybody's boss, but that's fine. He came in to talk to Mike about the game for a minute. And I was overhearing them talk about it. Mike was like, yeah, we didn't have enough girls. And we were kind of getting our shit kicked in. He goes, they came up with a plan where things got better, where they stopped rushing. So
yeah.
They stopped rushing and then like manned everybody. So like B eventually had to throw the ball and it kind of worked for him. But I mean, how much did it really work for them if they lost 44-8? So.
Yeah. What I was most impressed with is they, towards the end of the game, they started playing 5-on-5. They just had a lot of fun with it.
Oh,
there was good
cool.
banter
that's
between
cool.
both really teams.
Good.
No one was pissed. So it was a good way to handle a bad situation.
Oh, that is awesome.
That's nice.
And given the people involved, you know, you had B, Buddy, Mike, like great guys on both teams, so I'm not surprised.
Everybody had a good time.
Yeah. And B threw a no-look pass that he said was in my honor, which I was extremely honored by.
That's fantastic.
I just love these people.
There are nice people here.
I know.
We don't need to talk about all the suspensions and fighting. No fighting this time around.
Losers. We got losers of the week for that.
Was there fighting? Because Wet Bandits 39, Eyes Downtown 34. Mike, tell me about it.
So I saw a little bit of it and then got the rundown from some people who played. I didn't see any fighting. Looked like a good, clean game. Early in the game, I saw Bobby and Ben look like they had a miscommunication. Chris Nelson picked it off. Ran it back for either a touchdown or got it right to the 1 yard line. So I think Eyes Downtown was kind of coming back the whole game. I think it was one of those games where they were up by two scores, then Eyes Downtown would score, get it to one score, but they could never quite get over the hump. A lot of girl touchdowns in that game. I think I saw every girl. I think Maddie, Mel, Taylor, Amber, and Kayla all had touchdowns.
All top women. What are you
going to do? And, after the game, Kyle was telling me that Eyes Downtown had some uncharacteristic defensive breakdowns, gave up some long passes, which isn't always the, Joey Batts' game, but apparently he got him for a couple in that game. So, yeah, they just couldn't quite complete the comeback, but good job to stay in the game after some early adversity.
Cool. Like to see that.
I was going to say, I have notes on the other
selecting. I was going to say, Select 27, Basement Physics, 2 1-point wins, by the way, for Select in their first week ever. So are you helping or hurting?
I know. Now I'm like, not.
It's a team built for you, because how many games we lose by 1 or 2 points in Breakfast Club last year? So this is how it is being part of Doreen's.
And Mark was on that team.
We'll ignore that PWA lost by 1,000.
Yeah, right. So he said that the. I got to get to that part. There, he wrote a whole like paragraph, which I adore.
Good.
I know. I was like, thank you. That's when was this part. Okay. Oh, boy. Was there a fight in this one? Oh.
This is the second fight. I think this is the one where, like.
The second game was close until Mark tossed a pick. It looks like two picks in a row. And then the defense started arguing with each other because they took a pretty decent lead on us. And that's when my son and my brother started arguing. They got in each other's face. My son tried slamming my brother to the ground. We all cuddled there for a minute until my brother left. We had two pick sixes in a row and then had another winning drive to put us up by one. And again, the other team had a chance to win, but we came out on top.
So needless to say, this is kind of what we were talking about.
And then just for the record, I wrote back, holy shit, what did I sign up for here? And then I said, just so you know, Mark, I'm a mama bear. Fighting does not sit well with me. I'll put everyone in a big fucking timeout. And he's like, good, they need it. I honestly don't know what was going on. It was embarrassing as hell. We've all played together before. We had nothing like this. It's not what I signed up for either. I bitched at both of them after the game. Hopefully that's the end of it.
Hopefully. Well, I thought, and this could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure that his brother at least is suspended. But maybe that changed. I thought that's what was happening, but nothing was official. Obviously.
Do you get suspended for in-team fighting?
Here's the thing. If you're gonna fight Keita and then fight your own team in like back-to-back times, it's not a good look for you regardless. So maybe just either you're out or chill out for a bit and hopefully that'll happen. Maybe he just got to him. It's fine. It's whatever. But hey, we said they went down and then the problem went away, allegedly, and then they all got their shit together and they won by a point. Really cool. You like seeing new teams win, I guess, is the way I like to put it.
I think Mike Thomas wants to
say. I want to take a minute to point out that none of the game recaps have started out with, it was a back and forth game. By definition, football is a back and forth game. Right. We don't need that in the recaps. Well done, Doreen.
No, okay, good.
I guess that's true.
Now I'm going to be like, every podcast I do, I'm going to be like, don't say back and
forth. Flag of pride.
Don't say it.
Back and forth game.
Mike Thomas is listening.
He is always listening.
Judging.
You want to just give us a quick 3 o'clock score?
Sure. It looks like Cunning Stunts 52 to the Herd.
Yep.
24.
The Herd, I believe, was
so afraid of
the roaring. Remember the roaring 20s that you tried to get to come to the bar? And
they're
scared
of me. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the Herd.
Oh.
I guess like Delfonso from Marketing Mayors is their quarterback. Like they hired, like from
they hired somebody.
Yeah, they might have hired him. I don't know why I said hired, but
you're
giving me like a look like you've never heard of this name before. But Mark used to be really good in the league, so
what's his name?
Mark Delfonso.
Yeah,
that's whatever. Doreen does not care about you. However,
I'll know him when I see his face or other parts.
I'm not saying anything because I really wanted us to just sit down there for a second. But saying it,
but good awkward silence.
Nah, yeah. It was perfect silence for me. Yeah, so the Cunning Sons do what they do, and they score a lot of points, especially against teams that are still, like, relatively new, so...
And figuring it out.
Really, yeah, exactly. Nothing really to write home about there.
I think the Herd could have made this closer if they had showed up at the bar that one day. When you get a free bucket from the owner of the league, get your ass up to the bar.
I'm yeah, on it. Just was the problem sending it through Drunk Doreen?
Listen, I wasn't...
Or Doreen, as she's known.
That drunk yet. I was
that drunk yet.
Moderately good. The reason why I know I was is because I can remember the conversation. And I definitely walked up to them and was like, hey, you know, and just, you know, part of the Sunshine Committee.
I know. Well, we'll do more of that this year.
Yeah, that was fun.
I know. It was fun. So we should do it sooner than later, too.
I'm going after the Herd.
Get them. You're going to herd the Herd?
Yeah. I mean, literally, I could be their mothers. Like, I'm 20 plus years older than them. So they have to listen to me, right?
I guess that's how it works. Yeah.
I'll grab them by their ears.
Do it. That'd be fine. You're allowed the Sunshine Committee that grabs people by their ears. That's fun. So, like Mike said, this is the most efficient podcast of all time because A, two of us weren't there. B, there's only three of us here. C, don't have a lot of stuff to write home about just yet. Plus, again, Jeff didn't give me a list of things to speak of. But we'll get into our usual. This is winners and losers. First off, before we get into that, I will say if you're a new person listening to the podcast, wondering, oh, hey, why don't you talk about our teams and do all the things? People message me on Facebook. They text me. I don't really care about their games just so that I can read like Corey did earlier. Like, I have no problem reading what happened, you know, verbatim. Yeah. I'm actually kind of surprised because usually, well, never mind. I was going to say Chris Wolcott usually messages me, but as the Reset Warriors are dead and the Chris Wolcott plays for Corey, I guess Corey just takes over that. So never mind there. Swing and a miss, Joe. But yeah, so you guys are, please, the more people that want to reach out and at least say, hey, Joe, okay, this is what happened. Talk about it on the podcast. The better the podcast can be. The longer it'll be, too. But I don't know if we want that or not. We'll figure that part out. But winners and losers. We're going to do our winners of the week.
All You're right. Up. Should I go winners?
Yep.
Okay. I had it for a second. Oh, okay. I was like, I should have wrote it down. I was going to say that for me, I think my winner of the week is Jeff Kroll. I wanted to start the season with making him the winner of the week because I had seen, you know, already over the last few seasons, just how much he puts into the league. Mm-hmm. But now with just helping out a little bit more and being a Breakfast Club captain too, I just see how much he does. And that's like on top of raising helping to raise a small human and having a job as well. So I think somebody said, was it you, that you would ride into battle with Jeff Kroll or something like that? And I was like, I totally see why somebody would say that. So he's just very organized and he's so fair, like what you mentioned earlier. He won't let his own wife be on that second team because she didn't fulfill the rules. I'm going to give her a pass for, you know, raising a human. But here I would have given the pass and here has, you know, he said no. So
one of the biggest talking points among Sticky when we won D1 was like, we're doing it for Jeff Kroll. Like we all wanted to win for ourselves, but we really wanted to get him one. He deserves it. So.
Oh, yeah. He was excited too. I loved his recap. It was so detailed. And I love how he went back and thanked people that helped get them to where they were on that day from seasons past. You know,
it's crazy.
This great human.
He doesn't ever forget like how Sticky got to where Sticky is. And I think that's really cool. I mean, it makes sense though. Like, I know we're in winners and losers, but we got extra time. It's fine. We've all been a part of teams for long enough. When you're on a team that's like the team that you've been on for like 15 years, you know, everybody's had their like original team that they're on for quite some time. It sucks because as you grow up, and we kind of mentioned this earlier, like people come and go, and kind of like we're talking about TMA or whatever, you know, TMA isn't exactly the TMA we knew 5 years ago where we had Prim and, you know, all the various other tall guys and stuff. So it's true though. And now they're in a weird spot, but it's like, we've all kind of been there where it's like, this person's going to not play with us anymore. We're going to bring on somebody who, well, we'll see how they fit in. If they fit in, awesome. And if not, we'll move on from them. And you got to make those decisions, but don't make it personal, et cetera. So, like, I mean, I'm still Bullet Club personally. And I look around and the roster is nobody that was originally on Bullet Club.
Yeah.
There's no Jeff Eason. There's no Gordon. There's no Sam and JJ. Like, you know, we talk about, I think off air, we talked about the game that you and I recalled that's a Sticky Bullet Club game from years ago.
How do you remember these things?
Nobody on that team, nobody on my team now is from then.
Right.
It's a complete, it's a different team, you know, and it's just, it's crazy. Now, with that said,
actually,
I have a whole bunch of new people that I love that were in a group chat. I get to talk to them, you know, all the time, and they're fantastic human beings, and I love every second of it. But, you know, like, there are, if Bullet Club ever magically got their shit together and we won D1 in an alternate universe or something, I would have to do the same thing and be like, let's go over the people that help us get to where we got. And it's really cool. So I understand where he was coming from with that. And it's pretty neat.
Yeah.
Mike, who's your winner of the week?
I'm going to do two. My first winner of the week is going to be Malachi, as I mentioned before. So I didn't know Malachi. Maybe everyone knows him. I really didn't know who he was.
Like I said, don't know him.
The way I got to know him is I was playing Friday nights. It came on over the summer and we were in the top division.
Raider.
I was playing with Andrew's team, which was Lightning Falcons plus Amber, Kayla, me and Dave Baker. So
all the plus.
It was a solid team.
Yeah.
We had some great games against the team that Malachi was playing on. And in the championship, we lost this past Friday night. 68-67 was the final.
Oh, my gosh.
Malachi must have had 7 touchdowns and like 350 yards. I mean, we just could not stop him. It was the best individual performance I've ever seen in these leagues.
And, in a championship game?
And we were, it was fun. Like, he's a nice guy. We were, you know, there was some banter during
the game. No shit talking. We were like, oh,
yeah, he wasn't being a jerk about it. He was just, you know, dominating us with a smile on his face. And it was one of the most fun games I ever played in. So I just wanted to shout him out. Great player and seems like a nice guy. My second winner is, it was going to be the Krolls collectively, but since you already took Jeff.
Sorry.
I'll just take Christine. I do want to shout them out for moving into their new house.
Well, right. Well, he's almost the loser of the week because he's taking all of your money.
Right.
He's moving on up already. Moving to this new place. And I hear he's already got a lot in Sanborn pinned out for after he takes a little more money off of us. So we'll see. But no, go on.
Yeah, Christine, I just wanted to shout her out because she has been, since she came back from the pregnancy, just absolutely bawling out the last couple of sessions. She's kind of been my go-to girl, catching all different kinds of routes. And it's funny because when I first started playing with Sticky, Christine was like 25 or something. And we were in the lower divisions and she was unbelievable. I mean, you just couldn't cover her. And that was really what Sticky was. It was Christine and Amy Taylor catching deep balls from Alex, you know?
Yeah.
And I always thought like, man, it'd be so fun to play with Christine. And then when I finally got the chance as quarterback, when I finally got the chance to be quarterback, it was great, but we were also moving up in divisions. I was trying to figure it out. Now you're to the point where all the girls are good. So you're not getting wide open anymore.
Right.
And I mean, she was playing well, but we didn't quite capture that, the chemistry that we have now. And plus, I think, you know, she was getting married. She was finishing her residency, having a baby. And now these last couple sessions, it's finally come together. And just shout out to her. She's been playing unbelievably
well. She is so unassuming. I feel like when you're watching on the sidelines, people look good and you can, you know, say, wow, that was a good play, right? But then when you actually play on the field with them, right? I'm older and I've lost a step, but I still feel like I'm pretty fast. She smoked me, okay? Like Katie Salisbury smokes me too. And every time she does, you bitch. And she laughs as she's catching a dive bomb like 20 yards ahead of me.
She turned her ACL for 14 times.
Oh, no, don't. Did she? Did she really?
No.
Oh,
but that's how believable it is.
I'm like, oh, no. But
speaking of Katie, so apparently she played the Eyes Downtown Wet Bandits game with like a huge black eye.
Oh.
I don't know if she got it in the game or from before, but
she plays
Katie's as tough as they come. So
I know. I love her. And she's just such a great person too. And she's quiet as hell. I'm like, girl, you could be running your mouth like crazy. I know.
Yeah.
But yeah, Christine, I remember just she did like this, it looked lazy. I remember like she just did this little curl out and then kind of just brought it up. And I was like, oh, I know exactly where she's going. And I'll be, oh, she's gone. Like, it was hysterical. I'm like, where the hell did she just turn on, like, turbo jets? And to point out as well, to piggyback on your winner of the week, is, like, she's probably also helping behind the scenes. Because if you think about it, even if Jeff is doing every single thing with, like, running the league, that means
she's picking up more at home, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The stuff at home in order for him to do that. So, yeah. I like that we're collectively giving it to them.
Yeah, no, it's funny because, I mean, again, we have time to fill so I can comment on your winners. Christine was one, like, when I started Lenny's Ladies, she was one of the people that I, like, asked almost right away.
Right, that's right.
She's so good. And I remember that she naturally, because that's just how everything fell apart for Lenny's Ladies, she, like, broke her finger, hurt herself.
Right.
At one point, we were like, she could throw, too. It really works out, you know, and it was fun. But, you know, I think she only played, like, a season before I think she just kind of, like, I think she just wanted to only focus on one team for Sticky, and then she ended up, then you guys did
then not we so started sticky, not so, so sticky.
Like,
yeah,
there's that. But yeah, she's just like one of the coolest people. Like Doc rules, you know.
Yeah,
and it's a cool, like, you know, you get to see them. Like you said, oh, I knew her when she was so young, and now here we are. It's like she's killing and stuff. And every time, I mean, I don't think we've had an article do like. Remember, we used to do like the female rankings a few years ago. Mm-hmm. She'd always be like way lower than she should be.
Right.
Because it's like she's just that unassuming, like she's really, really, really good at football, but everybody just forgets about it because I don't know why.
Because we'll see like these explosive plays with a Katie Salisbury,
yeah, maybe that's
or
one
Maddie or
whoever. I think she's like one of the more, like I said, she's one of the more underrated players even still. So whatever. My winner of the week, it's really hard to have a winner of the week if you didn't really show up, but I'm going with practice squad because of what Mike said, where, all right, PWI only has five players. We're going to just play with 5-2. That'll be cool. You know, let's not be dicks about it. Let's have a little bit of
fun. No, in fairness, that was towards the end of the game, but still but that's still
like
a cool thing.
But it's still like you're a thing fair. Where it's like, we can do that. And,
right.
You know, a lot of people would just be like, no, let's run up the score. You know, like there's people out there that would do that. Instead, they do the opposite. Hey, let's have fun with it. And, you know, whatever. Because other people would be like, well, what if we blow it? You know, because of the, they didn't. They're like, hey, let's make the best of a bad situation. So that's some early shout outs for people and whoever filled in at 10 o'clock. Cause I know they were looking for a 10 o'clock ref for like the longest time. Don't know who did it, but I just remember being asked like the Friday before, like late, like, do you know anybody who could do this? Ask your team, do this. Somebody did it and stepped up. So shout out to whoever that ref was. What'd you lose of the week?
I'm going to go me for not showing up for the first 2 weeks of football. I hate that. No, I'm going to go. I don't mean to steal anybody's. And we can all have the same losers of the week. But
it's fine.
I feel like we say this on the podcast quite often, mm-hmm. that this is, especially to a lot of people, this league is the other family for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. And so some of us can be very protective too of all those other people.
Absolutely.
When we are recruiting people into our league, we're trying to recruit people who are fun.
Alcoholics.
You know, I was going to say that are going to have fun the 60 minutes before you get to the bar, right? Mm-hmm. So for me, when I hear stories about in-team fighting as well as fighting with, you know, people outside the team, I get really aggravated about that. So I'm just nervous because, and Makita can attest to this, he knows I used to play on a team with him and Blaze when I came back to Toppers from Game On, and I couldn't handle it because there was so much fighting and stuff. And I was like, I come here to have fun. Like, I don't want to hear screaming. And so, you know, props to them for, I think, kind of, well, Kita especially has gotten a lot better. And I think I'm less provoked, but same, right? Like I would be the same way. Like if I get provoked, then you hear me screaming. And B made a joke that if you ever hear Doreen screaming, someone fucked up. Yep. Because it takes a lot to get me there now. But if you get me there, mom's pissed. Mm-hmm. So get out of my face. So I'm looking forward to playing with this team and seeing how the rest of the season goes, but I do hope it gets cleaned up.
I feel like in these situations, especially it's week one, everybody, regardless, everybody who plays this league still has some competitiveness to them. So they want to show up and show out, or whatever you want to say. And
there's no scouts on the sidelines though.
Well, you say that, but technically there are, because the other teams, the better teams technically are always scouting. Like you said, always be scouting. That's basically it. I think sometimes people just get in their head that they want to kill it out there and they don't want to lose. They can't stand losing and they're trying their best and maybe they just go overboard and that's not really who they are. Because like there's been enough people in this league where you're like, wow, that person is a total dick on the field. Like
isn't that what you said about me, Mike Thomas?
You know, like I hate that.
You imagine that. I never actually said that.
Yeah, yes, you did. Jeff Kroll told me.
Realistically, like two people that I've always loved from this league, whatever, like I love Gordon and I love Matty Ice, you know, those two complete dickheads on the field, especially with each other. I mean, they wanted to kill each other all the time because two peas in a pod.
Yeah.
And if you just watch that interaction between them where it's like, oh, these guys are douchebags. They just want to kill each other. And then you're like, and you see them off the field and they're like, oh, they're just super nice. You're like, ah, maybe that was just like the bad time to see it. I don't know.
I saw Matty Ice chirp Dave Baker one time. Who chirps Dave Baker?
Matty chirps everybody. Yeah. And then it's like, but in the beginning, you're like, who the hell is this punk kid? Then you're like, oh, you know, he's our punk.
Then he's on the sideline, like deep throating a bomb pop. Like, you're like, can't take him seriously, obviously.
I miss that kid.
I know. It's so weird. I feel like he still had some good years left in him.
We got a loser of the week?
Let's make it Matty Ice.
Nah, he's getting married soon. So,
you know, I hate to do it because I sort of touched on this the last time I was on the podcast with Daryl, but it's got to be Cobblestone and Daryl because you can't not have enough people to play.
Yeah.
You know, it's so deflating when you show up to a game, you're excited to play, and you just can't have a competitive matchup. I know sometimes it's tough to get people, but, you know, as every captain, week. that's your responsibility. And yeah, sorry, Daryl. Got to give it to you.
Sucks. I know it sucks so much for the other team. But like Daryl told Topper this forever. And he's telling Jeff this now. He's like, put us wherever you need us. I'll do my best to get it up. He doesn't whine and bitch and complain. He just like,
and Jeff said that to me, too. So
and it's like, ah, man, I get it. And it's like, well, try a little harder to get girls, but. It's also really hard to do that, you know, every single year, like getting girls that are new to the league.
Right.
Can be a lot harder, obviously, than if you have to do it every single season. Ooh-wee. Like you got to hope.
I don't know the dynamic of Daryl's team, but ask for help, right?
Right.
Like
well, that's the other
he could reach out to Jeff and maybe make a connection. There's got to be some way to do it.
There's definitely a couple females, I'm pretty sure, in Breakfast Club that don't have teams. So, well, I mean, we have until week three until roster's finalized, so maybe. Maybe that can be helpful. Or maybe this was just a week where they're all camping with Doreen. Who knows?
I felt so bad. I screwed up my schedule so bad with people. I like ended up texting, I think it was, both teams on like Wednesday because I realized that I had tickets to the Kids Day game with the and for some strange reason, I thought that that was on this weekend coming up. So I was like, yeah, I'm only missing the 31st. And then I end up going, wait. Guys, actually, I'm missing these 3 weeks. And they were like, fuck, that was a lot different than what you told me. I was like,
sorry. Well, that's, I think the other thing too is, okay, if you can't get enough people, let the other team know before the day of. So, you know, maybe they can do other things. Now, Daryl might tell you, well, they, you know, they said they were coming and they no showed. I don't know the exact situation, but.
I feel like it's usually a day of no show. Like, there's nothing worse than, hey, guys, who's in? Who's in? Oh, in and out. And then it's like, all right, cool. We have just about enough. Hey, two people who didn't answer, what's your deal? I should be okay. And the day of, they're like, nope, I thought I was going to be okay, but I'm not. And it's like, well, that sucks because I needed to know by, what is it, Friday at 3 or whenever Jeff's deadline is for subs. So it's like, you can't even get the sub day of, which is kind of why I hate the way that we do the rule here.
Right.
Because like, whatever, that's not a thing. We'll little bitch about. But, you know, there's got to be ways around it, but there isn't. So like now teams get fucked and what are you going to do? For me, my loser of the week, I could be wrong here, so... I don't exactly know the roster specifically, so tell me if I'm wrong, but I'm going to go with Ben Steck. And here's why. Now, most people say, ooh, because, Ben Steck could be a douchebag. This isn't why. So, at the end of last year, it had to be the last week of the season. Can't touch this lost. And Ben Steck was talking about, I might go play with them if they go up, because this is one like, oh, it's going to be one single D1, blah, blah, blah.
Even out the teams.
He was
a
like,
little
I'm going to go play with Can't touch this. And, you know, what? Et cetera, et cetera. I'm like, well, that would be sweet because that would give them that guy they kind of need, you know? And like guys downtown, they got a ton of great dudes. They'll be okay like without Ben.
Right.
So he was like, oh, I might do it. I tried to talk him into it like that day. I was like, you should do it. Cause like, that'd be really cool if like, can't touch this hat of Ben Steck. That's exactly what they need. You know, they're obviously right on the cusp of competing. That would help them even more in like D1 stuff. So I thought he was going to do it because he kind of seemed interested, but I don't know, Bobby sent him to keep him around. It's kind of a bummer. Maybe
Bobby's persuasive from what I
hear. Maybe he's on both teams because you can be on a D1 and D2 team. And maybe I'm just wrong, but I don't think he refs. So he's definitely on eyes downtown.
I don't think so.
Yeah. Oh, I've never seen him ref.
Yeah. So that sucks. So it's not a real reason to be a loser, but man, he would have made things more interesting, right? That's pretty much what we're looking forward to now. Like D1 and D2, they're all playing the same schedule. I know the playoffs are split, but there's going to be more games there. And if you get a D2 team that improves just a little, and there's a cool like a free agency thing, like, oh, player X goes from a D1 team to a D2 team. Well, now the D1 team gets a little worse and the D2 team gets a little better, and that's significantly more interesting storyline wise. So
I agree.
That's the only thing I could come up with a loser. So here we are. We almost made it to an hour. We are at our final thoughts. Doreen, take it away.
You know, I know it's coming, but then I still sit back and go, oh no.
That's what she said.
I'll say, okay, my final thoughts are, I'm actually going to shout out to just a few people that I sent text messages to and said, anybody want to be on the podcast? And everybody said yes.
Nobody's here but Mike Thomas.
But that's because we just couldn't do it on specific days. But they all said, can I do it on this week or that week or this week? So I think we're going to have a really nice lineup for this season for podcasts. Yeah. Yeah. And we should get them drunker than what we are right now.
Okay.
Because that was a lot of fun.
This is heat drinking, though. So
yeah, I know. Yeah. Oh, it is so hot
here. Once we're on the bourbon bar, everything, all bets are off. Bets and clothes are gone. She's checking my third beer she's been giving me.
Well, I don't like seeing empty beers. I can't be behind a bar and not serve one. So on that note.
Oh, that's really perfect.
Michael, what do you have?
I'll do two. The first is when I was talking about the D1 championship before, one thing I wanted to mention that I forgot is I was really happy that we were able to do it with Dave Baker back on the team.
Yeah,
it wouldn't have been the same if we would have broken through without him. You know, you guys remember from my origin story last time, Dave's kind of the one who got me into, you know, opened up this whole part of my life. He's also, if you've never played with him, he's one of the most fun guys to play with.
So nice.
Just always make you,
and
we
so
always say,
good.
You always leave a conversation with Dave Baker feeling better.
Yeah.
It's because you realize you don't have 17 kids. Yeah.
That does play into it. But
I feel like that with Stoner Dave sometimes too. Like both of them, the two Daves, they're like, they're very, they see it. They see the big picture and they tell you exactly, like, if I'm two blades of grass over, they're like two blades of glass to the right and you'll get there.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just like, okay.
So it was awesome to win it with Dave. And then the second thing is I'm really looking forward to Sticky plays the Malones this week.
Oh, and that's awesome. That's like,
I don't know a ton about the Malones other than I know they've been dominating D3. They had a really good game last week. You know, like Joe was kind of just talking about, I want the D1 and the top divisions to be robust and have a lot of different teams and competition. Obviously, I hope we win, but I hope they live up to the billing. I hope it's a good game, and I'm looking forward to it.
They're fast as fuck.
They probably will have their music on obnoxiously loud on the sidelines.
It doesn't matter because they play on the field really well. They wear black, by the way, so your dark blue might.
Okay, noted.
Just going to throw that out there, but God, that's going to be
something. Bring rash.
I really hope I'm not playing during that because I want to watch it. What time do you play?
I think it's 10 o'clock.
God damn it.
I'm saying it.
It's fine. Well,
just videotape.
What are you doing, camping?
Going to Lake George. That's not good.
That's a stay.
I got to get away from these fucking neighbors.
Get away from the fucking kids, too. Football's away from both.
You know.
I know.
Right, I'm surprised you and Tim have neighbor issues. I would think you would be the people that have
people
all the neighbors over, you know?
Yeah, I know. Oh, are you kidding? We tried.
Wait, you hate these people.
Yeah, I hate these people.
Yeah, because those people just moved, so you
they
got rid of them.
Drink. They are my favorites. I sit back.
They don't drink.
They don't drink. The ones I don't like don't drink. And I'm sorry, but Ernest Hemingway said it. He said, you can't trust a person that can't get tight. And yeah, take that, write it down. Why aren't you writing it?
I can't confirm that that's an Ernest Hemingway quote, but if it is it the first one on the podcast?
If I say something.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Well, Lenny might have pulled some shit back.
I know some weird pop culture trivia shit, but I don't know if Ernest Hemingway could be pop culture, but in my world it is. They don't drink. I don't trust people that don't drink.
It's so funny because my boss at work, literally, he went on a trip one time with the one guy that doesn't drink. And it was just him and our boss, Adam of Dave and Adams. And they go out drinking, but Chris doesn't do any of that. So Adam's just kind of by himself drinking. He comes back and he immediately like yells at people on a breach of the series. He goes, if you ever send me on a trip with somebody who doesn't drink, you're all fired. And I'm pretty sure that he wasn't joking.
Yeah, it's tough. And I get it for like people that, you know, they're going through recovery or something.
Yeah,
like
good for
I
that.
I totally get that. But I mean, you're just not doing it at all. And you have three kids. No.
Something's fishy.
Something. They're like missionaries and shit like that, too. They go on these Christian missions.
Oh, yeah. Those are not Doreen's people.
No, my people. In fact, that is why I'm actually hoping that we can get as many people to the podcast, make it here. All wide open, swear, do whatever you want.
Doreen Fest coming soon.
Yes, I'm just like.
We got four house bars and we got to break in the new neighbors.
One of these days I should just bring the whole league. Like, just come back and like swim in the pool afterwards.
I think if you just threw like a Doreen Fest, people would just show up.
Just show up. Everybody come and show up and be obnoxious.
I love that.
I want this for me.
I don't really know how to type.
I really hope we get like the Doreen neighborhood who she's fighting update every week we do it here.
You got it. I'm on it.
My thought is pretty similar to what it always is. It's really good that football is back. Obviously,
it's just fun. You know, I mean, you kind of, everybody kind of touched on it as we're going through like this entire podcast where we're talking about like, man, I knew these people when they were young and now they're like doing adult life stuff is just really cool. And we're trying to get new people to the league, but explaining them at the same time, like, this is our other family, which is sometimes we're closer with them than our actual family and all that other stuff. And it's always fun.
Of every Saturday.
It's always fun, like, doing the whole thing with the regulars because, like, you know, like, I've seen you guys for a billion years. And this is fantastic. I love hanging out with you. But, like, it's also cool when you see, like, the new people buy in. Mm-hmm. And every season there's a team or two or three and sometimes a lot. You know, it just depends on how it works out where more and more people buy in. And then all of a sudden we get new characters and new people wanting to be on the podcast or doing X, Y, and Z. And that's always better, you know? So
love it.
That's pretty much it for me. So yeah, if you guys go on.
Did I ever tell you the hockey story about when I knew you and I were going to get along?
No, maybe go on.
So we were playing floor hockey, you know, 15 years ago.
Yep.
And Joe was on this team. It was the Regulators, right?
Yes.
And they were very much like, I would like them to like Public Enemy kind of in this league. They wore all black. They were really, really good.
We had a cool logo with Chuck Norris on it and like gone.
And I didn't know any of the guys personally, but on the court, they were pretty, they weren't like slapping you up and, you know, they were pretty intense. And I remember one time Joe and I were like battling for the ball in the corner and we're both going at it and it just popped out and someone else took it away. And then Joe said something like, oh, we really fucked that up. And I was like, this guy gets it. Like I and we had never talked at that point and like probably me. Didn't talk for like another 2 years after that, really. Right? But I was like, this guy understands what intramural sports are all about. Like you're going hard, but also you understand what it's about. So
you liked him right away, but you hated me.
That actually tracks.
That does track. Everybody,
what are you talking about?
Everybody hates me.
I'm a fucking delight.
I mean, you referenced this twice now, so we got to tell the story. My first interaction with Doreen was she screamed at me while I was reffing.
That's everybody's first interaction.
That sounds about right.
But good friends now.
I know. I love it. I never say Mike Thomas's name without saying, I love Mike Thomas.
That's actually how I think that's actually his full name. I love Mike Thomas.
It's actually annoying.
I love Mike is actually.
It's like every time somebody says Mike Thomas's name, they instantly go, I love Mike Thomas. We know everybody loves Mike
People
Thomas.
Don't hear. Who's that Olive guy? What do you mean? Everybody says his name's Olive Mike Thomas. Oh, no. Yeah, so that's fun. I mean, I vaguely remember playing hockey against you like back then because now we're old, but
right.
I'm old. You're still young and youthful. You got this. But
listen, neither of you can say shit.
Isn't it weird to think that between that little interaction that you recall from hockey a million years ago to now we're randomly sitting next to each other for Bill season tickets?
Buffalo, without planning. That's kind of stuff that happens at Buffalo.
Because you just decided to move your seat. I almost feel like we got to go in together so we still have all the seats together.
Yeah.
I think that should happen. But
I agree.
That's it. I don't actually know if I said anything important in my final thoughts because I don't really have anything important to say. If anybody wants to be on the podcast, please do it. It's also fun. All you do is hang out on a Monday or a Tuesday, and hopefully it will be either in Doreen's bar, Topper's bar when he demands that we go to his house because he wants to be on the podcast that week, or we'll be at the actual bar, like wherever we can do it. It's a ton of fun, and it's a great way to get like your name out there or who are you or hype up your own team, you know? But even if you just want to like text me or Doreen what's going on with your game so we have like more stuff to talk about, that's cool too. We'll figure it out. It's no big deal. But that's it. We're at an hour. Didn't think we'd get there, but we started rambling and talking about each other's points because that's how the podcast actually works.
Love it.
I will see you guys at the fields for the beginning of Breakfast Club and for week two. Thank you, Doreen. Thank you, Mike. Thank you, everybody who listened. So. I love it. We're back, baby. Let's fucking go. Bye.
Incredible mind, I'm so overwhelmed. How did my brain conceive that?
Yeah. A snow white dove in the pitch black night. Yeah. A raindrop falls from tremendous heights. A wave crashes off of a cliff in Scotland. A child bites an apple, but the core is rotten. TV is free, but what is the cost? We have GPS, and yet we're still lost. A carrot in the desert, a camel in the garden. A man with giant ears begging your pardon. What if a garbage man was actually smart? What a common misconception that we're tearing apart. Into a dog? Dog food is just food. Into a sock? A mansion's just a beast you. A milk dud sitting in the acid rain. A house cat addicted to the cocaine. Milk teeth, unlimited floss. These are just a few of our incredible thoughts.
Incredible thoughts, incredible mind.
A ballerina waits for the bus. A number one dad trophy covered in rust. A nun ducked to basketball, living the impossible. A man breaks his leg inside a hospital. We just thought of that, and it could change the world. We're like a smart oyster full of pearls, such as an ultrasound of a new baby with a Santa hat drawn on. Yeah, that's my kind of Christmas card. What if a butterfly was made out of butter? These small thoughts could destroy Big Brother. The world's cutest kitten just hugging a dog. Just one of many of our incredible thoughts.
What if one thought could cure the people? What if one song could end all evil?
Imagine if a fish could play guitar and also sing. It would sound bizarre, like,
my name is Mr. Fish. Yeah. These guys' thoughts have granted my wish. Oh,
and that may have just changed the course of time. I swear my mind blows my mind. Incredible.
Incredible. Incredible. Incredible.